Okay, we're up to page Ayin Zayin, middle of Siman Yud, Sif Katan Chaf Dalit. Only two more. There are two more copies here. Right. Okay, we are Sif Katan Chaf Dalit. Only three more Seifim to go. Katan Hayadea Lishmar Tefillin Shlo Yafiach Mohem Shlo Yishem Mohem Oviv Chayiv Liknes Lo Tefillin Tefillin Sheyanicham. So who has to buy the tzillin? This is Rabbi Chiddush, the father. Why the father? Let the kid go to work. When he's 6 years old, the father has no chiyuv to support you. That's the halacha.
That's not the minhag.
Oh, look what he says. Ooh, the grandparents. See what he says? Today it's not the minhag for the father, it's the grandparents. That's very true. My grandfather, Zeichet Zayik Nevroch, he bought me this film, that's right. It was a very big deal. And it's very true what you're saying. Is that Taka what you will do for your grandchildren? It's a big expense. Today it's very expensive. A good pair of tefillin costs $1,000. At least $1,000. $1,300 even. But here it says, it's interesting what it says. The Chiddush LaHalacha, that is the father's obligation. He's telling you Halacha. Kiddush Shuchnach is Halacha, the father. Why is the father mechuyev to buy the tefillin? You're not mechuyev to buy. You're not mechuyev to do anything for your child. Everything you do with the child is mamish chesed elyon. And yet, the child can go buy his own. He's 6 years old, go to work. Okay, United States, there are laws, regulations, child labor laws, and so on and so forth. But this was not written in America. This was written in Hungary?
Hungary, Gansfried was Hungarian.
And before the 20th century. Halacha is
1880s.
And in those days, tefillin cost $1,000. Tefillin were probably more affordable, I assume, at that, but they didn't have what to eat also. So, you know, yeah. So you can't judge. You can't. But it's interesting that he says that, I don't know where it comes from. The chiyuv is upon the father. Why? Why is it upon the father? I do not know. One thing, I'll just tell you something very interesting. It's kedai if you have a chance to look at a Rashbam. I wanted to show you Rashbam. It connects into this halacha. Let me see, we have a mikros gedolos. Just give me 1 second. I want to show you something. Perhaps this can open up for us a deeper understanding into what the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch says. The first parasha of Tefillin, there are two parashas of Tefillin in Parashas Bo. And the Parashas Bo in the last Aliyah is Kaddish Lichol Bukhar, Petek Lorechem Bnei Yisrael, Banu Vavim Elihu. And it's a little bit, there's something strange. There are four parashas of Tefillin. Okay, so you would expect there'd be one parasha of Tefillin written in Shemos. Maybe one in Vayikra, or one in Bamidbar. In Devarim, okay, they're spread out. But why are there two parashios in Parashas Bo back-to-back? Back-to-back. First parasha primarily focuses on Matzah. The end of Parashas Bo. Kaddish Lichol Bukhar, Petek Lorechem, V'chulu V'chulu. You compare it to Shol. Shivas Yomim. Matzos. Toichal Matzos. Vayom Hashvi Chag Lashem Matzos. Ye Ochel E Shivas Hayomim. Velo Yer Elucha Chametz. Velo Yer Elucha Sovacho Gvulacha Vigat Levincha. And tell your children about this. Don't ever forget the mitzvah of Haggadah. This is Mamash the Parsha. This is the end of Yom Pesach. Bavur Zeh. Bavur for what? That Yishim Mikrashi says, Shakaye mitzvoisav. Oso Hashem li, the mitzvahs of Pesach Matzu Mor Halalu. Oso Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzroim. And then, V'hoyol l'cho l'os al yotcho ulu zikaron b'ninech l'mantia teres Hashem b'ficha. Ki b'yod chazaka. And you shall have a reminder of this your entire life, of Yitzias Mitzrayim wearing tum. Now, all of a sudden, without Moshe Rabbeinu taking a breath, second parasha. Begins the whole parasha of Pidyon HaBen, Peterechem. pidyon haben for your children, pidyon of your firstborn animals, and petach hamar, all the laws of redemption. And then at the end of the parasha, it says v'hayal le'os al yotcha. Hashem says, don't forget, make sure you put an os al yotcha ule totofos beinecha. What's going on? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu repeat himself twice, Toich Kidei Dibor, instructing the Jewish people to wear tefillin? There's a parasha of matzah, okay, good. It's a parasha to wear a pidyon haben, redeem your firstborn children, redeem your firstborn sheep, and redeem the chamor, fine. And then after you tell me about matzah and they tell me about the pidyon haben, you should say once, and as a reminder of what has happened, I want you to wear a tefillin on your hand upon your head. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu repeat this twice? I don't have an answer. I don't have any good answer. But the Rashbam was Rashi's grandson. You can see this. The Rashbam is a parish on Chumash. It is the most amazing thing you ever saw. The parish on Chumash of the Rashbam, because Rashi is very midrashic. Rashi's parish on Chumash is not easy. No one ever said that Rashi's parish on Chumash is an easy parish. It's a very hard parish. Rashi is doing something which we don't appreciate. Rashi was responding to the times. A lot of commentaries are a response to a need of the times. And like Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, Rashi was responding to a problem that happened in his time. There were different groups of Klal Yisrael. Some were viewed that the Torah can only be viewed as Mishalim. Nothing ever really happened. There was no such thing as all the stories, all the Chumash stories. Never really had. They were dreams. They were dreams. Maybe not. I don't know every Mefarish. But a lot of things, never just visions, there were dreams, there were mashalim. You know, you hear this today among the conservative. I mean, they have the new conservative Chumash, half of what they write, we are all of the agreement today that these things never happen. It's apikorus. It's apikorusis. But we should know that it's apikorsis, don't get me wrong, it's 100% apikorsis, but you should know that there are rishonim that say things chas v'shalom, not apikorsis, but there is such a mahalach that not everything in the Torah is to be taken literally, more allegorically. And then there were people who lived in Rashi's time that took every single thing in the Torah literally. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind. That's it. Don't take a cinder block and put in front of the blind. But if you want to cause a person to stumble in business, you want to trap a person and cause them to stumble, go right ahead. That's not what it says in the Torah. And they were two different groups. And they did not see eye to eye. And you had to make a decision. Are you going to be one of those? Are you going to be one of the people that look at the Torah as all as Mishalim? Or are you going to be from the group of people that are going to take the Torah very literally? And Rashi saw in his time this is a very big problem, because the chief held that there's a balance. There are things in the Torah which are meant to be Mishalim, and there are things which are meant to be taken literally. And that's really, if you look very carefully, Rashi's parish, Rashi is coming to bridge the two together. Certain things are Mishalim, and certain things are taken literally, and sometimes he says both. Elu v'elu divrelukim chayim. Rashi, what?
Dover acher.
But even when it's not a dover acher, Rashi is responding to a very great problem that existed in his time of people that were extremists. And there was no middle ground, no way to reconcile the two together. And that's we take this for granted today, because it's so pasha to us that there is a balance in understanding everything in the Torah. But Rashbam, his Rashi's own grandson, wrote a parish on Chumash, a short parish on Chumash, that is very much focused on pshat. Much more literal, not 100% literal, not to the extreme, but much more pshat oriented than something that Rashi will say. Rashi will say more of a homiletic interpretation to a pasuk, and the Rashbam will cut in and say, no. You can learn the pasuk very literally. He does that very, very often. And here he says something which is mind-boggling. By the parish of Tfilin. Let me find the Rashbam. Okay, Vayi Ki Hiksha. Let me read you. Kol, it's just a few words. I mean, he goes on. We have over here in the second parish of Tfilin. Hoyoki V'yach Hashem Lokecha El Eretz HaKenani. And you shall, there should be the varta called Petarechem Lashem, called Petachamor Tifte. Now here, Pasuk Yidalit. V'hoya v'hagada k'yishocha v'incha v'chor lemer mazos. When your children will ask you, what's all this? Mazos. Who is this kasha? Mazos is the tam, right? Mazos. Tell him. V'yamar te'ilav. Tell him. B'chozek yod ho'tzionu Hashem mitzrayim mibeis. You know why I'm redeeming you? You're my firstborn. You know why I redeemed you? You know why I'm redeeming the seh? You know why I'm petach hamor tifteh v'seh? It's because we were slaves. And the chosik yor chosin Hashem mitzrayim beis avodim. Now pasuk tesvav, pasuk begins. Vayihi was kihik shofar l'shalchenu. When Paro didn't want to let us go out. Now this is all part of what you're going to tell your children, right? Paro, he was tough. He didn't let us go out. Hashem killed him. Every bechor, his firstborn. Therefore, I'm talking to my son. That's why I'm redeeming all my firstborn children and my firstborn animals, and I'm redeeming my firstborn children. Now, the way I always learn the pasuk, and the way seemingly everyone learns the pasuk, is when you come to those words, period. That is the end of the conversation that you have with your child. Your child says to you, Father, mazos, what's going on here? You tell him, child, there's something called Yitzias Mitzrayim. We were slaves, Hashem took us out, Paro was a difficult person, Hashem humbled him, he killed all the firstborns, and therefore we do this. And the conversation is over. Go to sleep, have a good night's rest. The conversation is over. And then the Torah continues, right? And the Torah addresses Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking. Rabbi said, "Don't forget, v'hoya lo'os al yadcha ulitotofos b'nei necha. Don't forget to put on tefillin. We're in os al yadcha ulitotofos b'nei necha. Ki b'chozek yad hotzei Hashem b'sham." This pasuk tezayin is not part of the conversation. I think that's the way 99% of the population will read the psukim. Child says mazos. You have a discussion, the discussion is over, and now there's one more pasuk, there's a thing called tefillin. And what's very difficult is, didn't Moshe Rabbeinu 2 minutes ago, didn't you tell us the mitzvah of tefillin? Why are you repeating it again in such proximity? Tell it to us somewhere else, we know already. What's going on over here? So the Rashbam comes to the rescue, and the Rashbam says, when the child asks you the question, mazos, and you respond to him, tell him everything. He goes on, the Rashbam says, the pasuk of Ahoyo Le'osal Yotcha is not a command. It's part of the conversation. The father tells the son, therefore you, my son, don't forget to put on tefillin on your arm. It's incredible chiddush, the Rashbam. The pasuk, the second pasuk of tefillin, is not a tzivui from Hashem, or Moshe from Hashem to Klal Yisrael. It's part of the conversation. The son says to father, mazos, why are you redeeming me? Why are you redeeming the firstborn animal? Oh, let me tell you a story. And because of this, what happened, I want you, my son, to do all these mitzvos, and I want you, my son, also to put on tefillin as a reminder of what happened. That's why we put on tefillin, because Hashem did all of this. So when you're putting on tefillin, you're not putting on when a child puts on tefillin, he's not just putting on tefillin because Hashem told every Jew in Klal Yisrael should put on tefillin. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, told us in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you put on tefillin, it's because my father told me to put on tefillin. Very big difference. All the tayag mitzos we do, why do you eat matzah? The father didn't tell me to eat matzah. I eat matzah because the Torah says to eat matzah. Why do you go into the sukkah? Because the Torah told me to go into the sukkah. My father didn't tell me. It's not him to tell me. It's not his business to tell me to go into the sukkah. Hashem told me to go into the sukkah. Nani HaKavot. Why do you bring korbanos? Why do you do any remix? Why do you put on tzitzis? Because Hashem said to put on tzitzis. Why do I put on tefillin? Because my father told me to put on tefillin. Big difference. That opens up for us a whole new understanding in the Kitzer. Who has to buy the tefillin? It says there, Oviv Chayiv Liknas Loy Tefillin. If the father is telling you, I'm telling you to put on tefillin, oh, you want me, so you pay for it. You pay for it. I'm not going to do this on my own. When you connect the mitzvah to the father bears part of the responsibility for the mitzvah. Okay, and this is only from the Ramban, from the Rashba. This is not clear from the other. The Rashba says explicitly that this pasuk is part of the conversation. Now, God doesn't say this. Mazos, but there's really more to the conversation. All the Arabonim, there's more to the conversation. We just went Makatzer and Haggadah.
Is it possible to talk about different ages of children? Like, you know, a younger child you don't need to worry about because you're not going to tell them about.
Well, that's the whole question. You got to Levincha. What age is the mitzvah? As a little child, a young child. So in Echnami, why are Ketanim not chayvin tefillin? It appears, you look in the Mefarshim, that in ancient times, or by Rebbish of children, talk about, always the parents always very proud of their children. Oh, my son, he's an Eloi. My son, he's not like there. Like there are always these stories about during Gedol, they asked, what's the halach for a child, so he passed and said, no, he's pot. But what about your son? Your son didn't do that. When he was a katan, he leaned. You let him, can my son lane? No. Only a gadol can lane. No. But your son lane when he was a katan? My son is a gadol adar. What are you talking about? Right? So you have these stories. Does a katan wear a tefillin? No. Katan doesn't wear a tefillin. But your son, when he was already 8 years old, he was wearing a tefillin. Oh, my son. My 8 year old son is shocked. Can I get it? Someone that's 50 years old in intellect, right? So there's always this idea. So why there are definitely stories where we find Kitanim, a very great people who were wearing tefillin. So in Echnami, why not? Vigat Levincha, according to the same way there's a mitzvah of Sipa Yitzias Mitzrayim to a katan, a little small child, the children should ask. That's all part of the mitzvah of Sipa Yitzias Mitzrayim. In the Iker Hadin, there's a requirement, according to the Rashbam at least, according to the Rashban, and it will explain the kitz of Shulchan Aruch very well, because when you mechuyev ready to start teaching children about the Haggadah, less than 6 years old, you mechuyev to support your children al pi halach until they're 6 years, about 6-7 years old. But they already have intellect when they're ready 3, 4, 5 for sure. They already have a ability to understand things. So the chinicha, vigata levincha, the little kids ask the manishtana, they sing their little song, they do their little thing. When they're less than 6 years old, l'chayra, according to the Rashbam, already there's a time of putting on tefillin when they're already at that age. Now, no one's going to do that because tefillin af kedusha shema yafiach bohem. But since Nikra Hadin, the zman of buying, of zman of telling them about tefillin begins, and at that point in time they are now mechuyev to make their own, earn their own salary to make a living, and at that time the father is telling them what to do, and he's telling them what to do, and then I'm mechuyev to go and earn their own salary, so you got to pay for the tefillin. Okay, well, we're going to delay. We're not going to do this until they're 13 years old. They become gedolim because the tefillin have such sanctity, and children are not exactly very responsible in taking care of them and wearing them in a proper kedusha. So we're going to delay. Also, once we're going to delay already, so then already let them go buy it for themselves. Not so simple. You were mechuyev to buy your child a pair of tefillin when he was 5 years old. And when he was 5 years old, the entire financial burden of supporting him 100% fell upon you, the father. And that's really when you, the father, had an obligation to buy him tefillin, according to the Rashbam. Vigadat Levincha. Vigad, the mitzvah of tefillin is part of Vigadat Levincha. 5 years old. We're going to delay. Just because you delayed doesn't mean you're free from your obligation to pay for the tefillin. Okay, so this is a very big question. Alpi halacha. Really, alpi halacha. Let's say the son, the father says to the child, I'm not buying you tefillin. You want tefillin? Go buy yourself a pair of tefillin. Can the son take his father to a din Torah? I mean, it's a horror story, obviously, but Mikar Din, can you go to a din Torah and say, I want my father to pay for the tefillin. He doesn't want to pay. What? Now, let's say he's 13 years old. Yeah, let's say a child stones. Let's say 13 years old. A 13-year-old would take his father to a din Torah. I want the father to pay for the pair of tefillin. Okay, you're not going to pay for the best fare for a $300 tier tefillin. So, I mean, today, Bati Dinim today, there's no real din. Everything is pshara and yashra. So maybe they'll say a takon that today in society it's understood that you support your children until at least they're teenagers. You know, that you have to at least help them out. They're not expected if there are laws. You're not going to go and throw them out of the house when they're 13 years old. But al-pi halacha, I think it's a very interesting shalala of when exactly from the Rashbam, I think there's a makom that al-pi halacha, the mitzvah of tefillin is totally in the mitzvah of higadata. Higadata is before they're mechuyif to support themselves. And now that we delay putting on tefillin later on, does not exempt the father from paying for a beer. Now, of course, you don't have to buy the child a $1,300 pair of tefillin, even though everyone does. Baruch Hashem, I mean, not everyone, but people take it seriously. People who can, they do. But is the bare minimum, of course, something like, I mean, to buy a pair of tefillin today, you probably can't get something kosher less than like $300, I would imagine. $200, $300. Daka is in very, very similar parashios. But it's definitely a very interesting point, which just we gloss over, but it's not so similar what it says here. Oviv chayiv liknos lo tefillin.
Business.
What?
He can report to the Kohen Seder that you have weekly business news.
Weekly business news?
Weekly,
we talk about this child. They should write up the child. What the halach is? Interesting. Okay, let's go further. Av chayv liknas lo tefillin sheyanichem v'achshav nispashet haminuk shemaschil hakotin laniach tefillin. I'll ask, we'll take a poll here, what all of you did. Here it says, beis oigimul chodoshim 2 or 3 months kodim shenasa ben shalosh esrei shana. Let's look at the bottom. 2 or 3 months. Let's look at the bottom. You should practice. He needs to practice a little bit. Lamed beis kodim shenasa ben yigimul shanim. The bottom. Ramah kosav shein l'shanas haninik dekotin lo yinich tefillin ad yud gimul shanim. The Ramah. Okay, most people don't do this. No, you don't. The bar mitzvah boy puts on tefillin bo bayom. When he's bar mitzvah on that very day, no practice. That's the Ramah says. Because it's a sacred. It's a sacred object, and you don't want to play games. And so on until the later the better. Don't even do one day. The custom is 2 or 3 months, which the Kitzer says. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, passed like the Ramah, Shelo Yoniach Kodim Zman. The Halavai, look what he says, these beautiful words. The Halavai, Sheyizor B'Kdushas Tfilin B'Yosim B'nei Yugim Shonim. Halavai, that when he becomes Bar Mitzvah, 13 days old, he should be responsible. Not a moment before, not a day before. The Kain Kodashas Shuvah Space Hayotzer, V'Ois Chayim Hevi B'Shem Tzadikim B'Kdushim, Shekidu Alzeh Shuv Lo Yoniach Kodim Zman. They were Tzadikim, they were very Nizor, not a day before. I think the most prevalent minig is a month. Okay, that's the common minig, I assume. Is that all you did in your children? What?
No, it's a whole ceremony now.
It's a ceremony when the Boba Yom or the day they put on?
The month before.
The month before?
Boy, he gets a small kiddush.
Take pictures.
On the day that he puts on tefillin. Yeah. A month before.
Yes.
Not on the other bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
Okay. They go to, if they have a rashiva or they have a rebbe or some of the shvacha, they go and they put on tefillin.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very good. It makes an impression.
Like an upshare.
Yeah, so it's a very nice thing. So what's so terrible? I know so. I see my mincha. He always told me so. He took his grandson to the Bayana Rebbe. I think the Bayana Rebbe. So they went there, and he said it was so nice how like he said with him. Everyone should do the Bayana Rebbe. If it was him, he read with him the whole Lashem Yichud. Find a Rav today has time to come. Time for you to come before davening. It's a beautiful thing. How would if you were a Rebbe? Picture yourself, put on all the chassidish garb, and a boy is coming to you. You have the time for this? The boy comes to you, so davening at 7 o'clock, so you come 6:30. Come 6:30, we're going to put on tefillin together. And the Rebbe, they take out the tefillin, and the Rebbe sits with the child, and they read together the L'shem Yichud. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And then he puts on the tefillin and puts it in the right place. It makes an impression upon a boy. A boy that stays with the boy for the rest of his life. It's an incredible thing. Today they have tours. A lot of the yeshivas, and when I was in eighth grade, they brought in professionals. They had a demonstration of tefillin made today. They have a lot of new things since then. But they had an incredible video presentation of how they make tefillin. Today they take it to the fact they have over here by Pinchas. He davens over here. Pinchas. He davens here sometimes. He's a master at this. They have tours. They take him. They have on premises. They show. They have a bat macha by him. A lot of this own done Eretz Yisrael, but he has on his store. They do it there as well, and they show them, and it makes an impression of the Kedusha, what it's all about, and it's very good. Rav Avraham Shur, he gives a shir, I think, every Sunday for Bar Mitzvah boys, a very popular shir on Tefillin. He does just, I think they have 60 boys to come every Sunday and gives halacha, drush, machshava to instill upon them the Kedusha. It's a beautiful thing. I don't know. I wish I had that when I was a child, to go to Sashir to hear him give over. Pem Mavik Margolius, he says all these beautiful things about tefillin and explains the halachas. 60 boys together every Sunday afternoon instead of watching television. Not so simple. It's a symbol. It's not a simple thing. But
the 30 days before.
Absolutely. Once you put on till you make a bracha, no questions asked. 100%. 100% you make a bracha. Absolutely. But over here, no shechianu. Why? Oh, very good. It's a very good kasha. Why don't you make a shechianu? It's a very good question. We'll talk about that today. We'll do that today in the third part with Bdikas Chametz. I don't know. I think because it's leather. Tsar Bali Chaim. How did you come shoes? Do you make a shechianu on shoes? No, because to create the shoes, you had to kill an animal. So it's tzar bali chayim. So you make a shechen a fur coat. That's right. It's very shy. You should not make a shechen a fur coat because it came through. What is it called? Pita?
Pita?
No shechen. It's a good slogan for them. If only they knew.
Tzar bali chayim.
What?
The comment of the Rosh Chatem was
I don't know. I have to look into it. It's a very good. Why don't you make a shachianu? I think it's because it's tsar bali chayim. Tsar bali chayim.
You don't. It's good for the behemoth.
By a bris milo, we don't make a shachianu. It's tsar diyanuka. The child's in pain unless I think it was a shittas gra. Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, they do say Shechianu, even though there's Tsar Diyanuka. I always find.
There's no Shechianu by a chasen also.
Because a chas is only a hechsher mitzvah. It's not really a mitzvah getting married. The mitzvah is having children. So what? So it's the process. It's the process. It's a very difficult question. Yeah. It's not so simple.
Even in the chuppah, the chatan says Shechianu on new talit.
It's not so simple. I'll tell you. I mean, it says in Shochav, he buys svarim chadashim.
I was on Sunday. I saw that.
I don't just be more. You have to. A new talis. A new talis. If you buy a new talis, you make a shechianu. Poshet. Yes. If you buy a talis gadol, you make a shechianu. If you buy a new suit, depends. It depends. If you buy a really expensive suit that you have pleasure from, yeah. If you buy a cheap suit for $100, then you know you.
For any new beggar,
it's not a simcha.
It's not a simcha.
A pain to go shopping. That's scary to say that.
So
we're lucky that we have the money and we have the place to go shopping.
So far, behemah la shechito. Behemah asamu, or it is telephone.
I was what?
It's bad, sir. Chaim, that we are not going to shecht it and to say birkat hamazon and motzi on that meat.
Oh, went to Rush Limbaugh. I thought it was so disgusting. He gave. He was speaking. He said, "Today I have to go after the show is over. I have to go shopping. I have to go." Rush Limbaugh, listening years ago, I have to go shopping after the show is over. And he was complaining literally for an hour. And this guy is one of the richest people in America, if not in the world. And what kind of shaita to go in front of 10 million people and to go complain that, you know how fortunate you are, you have the money to go shopping? What are you complaining about? Okay, but it's interesting. It's a very good point. Believe that, and we'll try to look into it. Why don't we make a shechianu on when the first time you put on tefillin? And also, let's say you buy a new pair of tefillin, right? Buy a new pair of tefillin, cost over $1,000, a nice pair of tefillin. So why, Taka, don't you make a new shechianu on the pair of tefillin? So, Pash, I guess because it's less. leather. Leather comes from animal tzabalchem, but it's not so simple because there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch, and I saw this done, and I know that a lot of people who are davening are very disturbed about this. They if you buy new sfarim chadash, you make a shachianu. Now, sefer achnas sefer Torah, you don't make a shachianu. You ever hear a shachianu sefer Torah? No, why not? So I heard of a rise when I once went to a shachianu sefer Torah, who was the guest speaker, and he said because only the haschala, the tafkid of a Sefer Torah is to learn what it says in the Sefer Torah. It's not the end. It's a drush. But I don't know, I was in a shul and the Baal Koreh, he over a period of time he bought for himself Nevi'in. He loves to learn the Haftarah from Klaf. So the shul doesn't knock in the bar, they don't have any money, but over time, over years, every once in a while, he saves up enough money, he buys a sefer. So that week, he bought Yehoshua, maybe it was Parashah Shlach, when did they, three times a year he told me, three times a year, on Yehoshua and Simchas Torah, Shlach, the Meraglim, and there's another time, he laid. So whenever it was, so he bought a Yehoshua, and he made a shachianu, and it was a big deal because there was some real, heavy duty Haredis, the Haredim there, and they really held that it was okay. Allah, it's wrong. You're not supposed to make a shachianu when you buy. If you don't make for a sefer Torah, certainly you don't make for a neviim. But he came from a different line of poskim. And this is what he does, and he did it. He made the shah. Okay, very nice. No one said boo. They're just talking before davening, after davening. This is what he does. So hey, do whatever you want. No one's going to stop him. This is what he wanted to do. The rabbi had no problem with it. The rabbi was very happy, and he did it. But he's saying good. You're saying a good point. Okay, we're out of time. Let's finish. I want to finish up. Tefillin is you're right. It's zman grama. So what? Okay, we're out of time. Let's finish up this paragraph. One more paragraph. Bialkut on the bottom. Lamed beis on the bottom of the yalkut hagir shuri hevi haminik the yasa masl lanich tefillin koydem yud gimel shanim. There's a minuk. This is a very interesting thing. I once saw this. I didn't see this in great detail. A yasa puts on tefillin before he's 13. If you're in shiki day shiel luschus avi mohaniftarim. Very interesting. That a yosom puts on tefillin, it ties interesting into what I told you from the Rashbam. Because tefillin is a connection to your father. So if the person's father is no longer in this world.
What if the mother only?
It does. I don't know. I don't know the Gedarim. I don't know the Gedarim. But when you look at this Rashbam, it opens up new worlds in the parish of Tefillin. It connects you to the Father. The Mela, when there is no living Father, it makes a lot of sense that Yosam. So he says a Zchus. It's a Chus. That's only the Zchus. There are many Zchus the child can do for the Father. What?
Rosie has another sense of responsibility.
Spilly, he's more mature. So that's what it says. Laniach tefillin koydem yud gimel shan v'arminim shud kadesh yel uskos avim of haniftarim uva orach hashulchan sham kosav demash shemurgu b'fi hamoin sheyosam maskel oid shana koydem lo yodati shum tam lezeh. I told you a tam. I told you from the Rashbam. Okay, it's a drush, but it's something definitely to take into consideration. Orach hashulchan says, I don't know what's going on. I don't know where this comes from, that a yosam puts on tefillin a year earlier than anyone else. The A Lina came and he says it should not be done. Aruch HaShulchan says it should not be done. There's no different than anyone else. Puts out when he's 13 years old. Uva Ois Chaim Shem Kosov Gam came to Hu Shemuos Porchois Ba'aver. This has no source. It's a Shemua. This is a memra, a statement which has no Mekar. It's Narishkan. It should not be done. Uva Shailis HaTshuvah Stam L'mahar Shak. Okay, he talks about different halachos of Sifter Tumzuz. Cause of Gamkin she'ein lezeh shum remez. There's no hint to this halacha. That's no one disagrees that a katan, even someone who's 8 years old, can technically put on tefillin. There's no harm in a child putting on tefillin. It's only because a child, you don't let him do it every single day because he's not responsible. He'll lose the tefillin. He's not going to go to the bathroom when he's wearing this. He'll be pest gas. He's not responsible. But since sheyesh deus tiyachal hakdim al kain dai sheyakdim b'chodesh kodim avoloi b'ushana, so he says you want to make up sure you want to let the yasa put on earlier. Don't go a year. just a little bit more than average. So according to over here, what he's telling us, the custom of years ago, ancient times, it was only, they did it a bo by yom. They didn't go for this 2-3 months, 9 months. So a yosin does 1 month. So the bottom line is, the minhag olam is, klar, the minhag olam is to do it a month before. That's the popular minhag. I think the yekas, they do it 3 months, right? Adlers, you gotta ask the Adlers. They do it all 4 months. I know, because I remember when I was bar mitzvah, there was someone that I knew, and it was like a shock to me that he's gonna put on till 3 months, but then you're gonna get all psyched up, put on your tefillin.
Yeah.
Yeah. At 12. Ah, so you see Rav Moshe, under Rav Moshe's authority.
Absolutely.
12 years old. So you do see such a thing. It's a very interesting idea. Okay, so one thing to take away, this is very a katan, different minhagim, minizar, and the Rashbam. To keep in mind this Rashbam.
I don't think they count for minyan, but
whatever it is. It becomes more mature.
Oh, it's a big thing, because everybody could be honest. So that's why I remember it so well.